to lift up your name. We thank you, God, for so many things. So many things. Let gratitude be at the forefront of our thoughts today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Weary soul, this bag of bones.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we can just call on your name. We call on the name of Jesus. We can speak it. And you are here, Lord. You are right there.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurt, in your sorrow, it's all that I can do. In desperation, I seek heaven. Pray this for you. I pray for your healing. Circumstances will change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today.
Name. Oh, the mighty name.
Jesus' name. We agree together, God, in Jesus' name. Keep light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keep light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, you are waymaker, miracle worker. Darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here. You are.
Never stop.
You're faithful. each one of us. That is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Father, the most life-giving, the most peace-bringing, the most storm-calming, the most important thing about us, God, is found in who you are.
Amen.
God, your word tells us everything we have sung and so much more, and that you are the same yesterday. God, the moment, and even before the moment, you spoke the world into existence out of chaos. From that moment to this moment to eternity, who you are, God, is worthy of glory and praise and honor. God, when our lives are as good as we think they can be, who you are is still greater. God, when our lives are more horrible than we ever thought they could be, who you are is the rock. It's the peace, God. It's the strength. There's no moment when you change, and there is no moment when we cannot trust you, God. Even when we don't see it, you are working. God, even when we don't feel it, you are working. Help us by your Spirit remember and believe what is true about you and who you are always. God, we worship you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Good morning. That was weak. That was weak. Some of y'all here with y'all's mamas today, you better be speaking up in church. We are glad that you're here today. Welcome to worshiping with us on this Sunday, Mother's Day. What a beautiful day. There is no rain. It is not blistering hot. It is a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day, and it's great to be worshiping together. Thank you for worshiping with us today. If you're a guest with us here today, thank you so much for choosing to be with us. We are honored that you're here. There are many places you could be, and we're just glad that you're here today. We would love to be able to connect with you. If we can, we can do that a few ways. You can fill out one of the New Here cards on the chair in front of you. You can fill that out also online. If you're joining us online today, we have a guest table in the lobby with some gifts for you, just an opportunity for us to connect with you. Not to harass you unless you ask us, and then we will do it with vigor, okay? But we are glad that you're here today. We're glad that all of you guys are here today. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward. You know, I was listening I went to a revival this week at a church in town, and whoo, mercy, it was something else. And just even listening to the pastor that day talk about how they continue to worship while they give. They were singing up a storm while they were giving and walking down front and putting the offering in the offering baskets and just continuing to worship through that. And I just thought that's a great reflection. You know, we are able to continue worshiping. There's so much that we can do from things like preparing places for moms to take pictures today. That was done by Melissa Jones. Credit where credit is due. If you're taking those, pictures today, please take advantage of those. There are several spots to do that. I saw a lot of little kids, mine included, that are so excited to come in here And some of them know where the donuts are hidden. And honestly, some of the men do too. And just, you know, glad to bless folks and be able to do that. Excited that VBX is coming. Excited that youth camp is coming. So much stuff is going on. That's really not even the half of it. And we're just thankful to be able to do that together through our tithes and offerings, and mostly through the way that God takes those and blesses them and multiplies them in the way he can. So pray with me for the offering this morning. God, we thank you again as we continue just to worship you, Lord. Thankful to be in this place with the God who is always the same. God, everything you are. Lord, whatever we take and drop in the offering bucket today, we have because you put it in our pocket, God. You gave it to us. And we thank you and we praise you for providing for our families, for providing for our church, and for taking this offering and providing for the ministry and the growth of your kingdom in our community and our world, God. It is all from you and it is all to you. Amen. Amen. We have a few announcements today to share with you on our announcement video, and then looking forward to opening the word together with Pastor Corey. God bless you guys.
Happy Mother's Day!
We've got a few announcements for you. First off, seniors, next week is Senior Sunday. So make sure you go online and fill out a little form we have for you so we can give you a little gift that we have prepared for you. Second off, moms, make sure you get your picture. We got some few fun photo ops in the lobby. Lastly, parents, you guys need to go online and sign your kids up for VBX or summer camps. It's super fun. We do them every year, and we're super excited to see you guys there. I think that's it. Bye. Bye. Pastor Corey's coming up.
It doesn't matter whether you have one child, two child, three child, four child, five child. You always have that one child that is just so dear and near. I'm excited to be able to share today on Mother's Day. This is a special day. I do want to real quickly. Just if y'all don't mind, this week be in prayer for myself. I'm having a minor procedure, just a quick in and out, but y'all be in prayer for myself. And with that, isn't it just like a man to make it all about himself on a day we honor women? Continuing with that, we thought, hey, let's give Will Mother's Day off. So all of our moms can lead worship. Y'all also please be in prayer for Will. He's his father is having some medical issues, and he's out visiting with him and his mom. So y'all please keep him in prayer too. And with that, again, I've made it about us men. Happy Mother's Day to all our moms in the building. We're in a series that we've called Equipped. And last week I read my favorite verse, which is 1 John 2:20. 1 John 2:20 simply says, "You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You see, God has already equipped you and I with everything that we need to face any situation that we might face. God has already equipped you. So then why don't we daily walk in the confidence that he has equipped us? If we know that because of the resurrection we are equipped today, then how come we don't walk in that confidence daily? We know that the enemy can't create anything new. The enemy only manipulates and deceives, twisting the good that God created for you. So with this series, Equipped, what we're doing is we're shedding light on negative thinking, exposing the lies, revealing the truth being God has already equipped you. Today what I want to do is if you are here and you've ever felt like your world's falling apart, maybe you've ever felt like the pressure is just too much to bear. If you've ever been left wondering, God, where are you now? Then I think today is going to be a story you'll be able to relate to. I want to start in Ruth chapter 1, and we're going to see a woman whose world literally fell apart. Her life literally fell apart, and she slipped into empty bitterness. Empty bitterness. But we see God turn her bitterness, her brokenness, into a very powerful story of redemption. I tell you what, y'all stand with me as we read God's word this morning. I'm going to be reading starting in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. It's right up here behind me. It says this: in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons or her husband. Skipping down to verse 9. It says, when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her to stay. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth that we can stand on today. And I ask that by the power of your spirit, by the truth of your word, Lord, that you would reveal in our lives any bitterness, any confusion, any anger that we may have towards you. God, that you would bring about redemption through our brokenness, even through our unanswered questions, even, Lord God, through our pain. I pray all this by the power of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Y'all be seated for me. Today what I want to do is today's for anyone who's ever felt empty. Anyone who's ever felt empty, maybe even bitter at God. It's no coincidence that this message is on Mother's Day. I specifically chose this because I think mothering can sometimes be one of the most thankless jobs. My title for this message is Even When I'm Empty. Looking back over what we just read, Elimelech and his wife Naomi were married and they had two sons. We know that this massive famine hits Bethlehem where they lived, where God had placed them. This was their tribe where they were set. But because of the famine, they made a decision: we can't feed our family, we're going to go over there where it looks more abundant. They left the place that God had called them, moved into enemy territory, where things looked better. And along the way, Naomi's life fell apart. In a span less than 10 years, her husband dies, and she loses both her sons. She now has very few options. Her only means of income is either to sell her body or to become a beggar. But again, because she's a foreigner, both of these options lead reality, they lead to slavery. She doesn't really have an option to survive. She's living in a foreign country without any protection, and now her only means of income is slavery. She tells both of her daughter-in-laws, look, you need to return home. I'm going to go back home to mine. And in this, it's her daughter-in-law, Ruth, says, wherever you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. A powerful, powerful moment where, again, Ruth was a foreigner to Naomi. She was from a different country. So to do this alone for her, she was endearing herself to Naomi. Whereas Naomi was removing herself from the option of slavery to go back to her people, Ruth was endearing herself, chaining herself, if you will, to Naomi. It was this act of freedom from Naomi that said, no, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to keep my eyes on you. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And so the two set off. And looking back at our passage, it says, when Naomi arrives, the locals, remembering her, exclaim, can this be Naomi? Except they don't say it like that. It's not like, girl, is that Naomi? No, it's like, whoa. Is that Naomi? She looks beaten. She looks depleted. And Naomi, she looks at them and she says, do not call me Naomi. Now, in the Hebrew culture, your name very much meant something. In the Hebrew culture, your name was reflective of who you were. And Naomi, the word itself, it means pleasant or sweet. So when people are watching her come back in, they're looking at her going, is that really what was pleasant? Is that really what was sweet? Don't say my life is pleasant. Don't say my life is sweet. Call me Mara. The name Mara translates as miserable or better, bitter. Bitter. Call me miserable because the Almighty has made my life bitter. And then listen here, she says, I went away full. But the Lord has brought me back empty. Man, that verse hits emotionally. I went away full, but I came back empty. Call me bitter. I'd be willing to bet, I'm guessing that there's a few here today that can relate. Over your life, you may have dreamed of a life full of blessings, of hope, and of promise, and yet instead you find yourself broken and you wonder, where are you, God? How did I end up here? Maybe you prayed for, dreamed of a life full of meaning, of a life that was going to be impactful, significant, but instead you find your life full of pain and full of loss. And you wonder in those moments, where are you, God? God, I tried. God, I tried to do what you told me to. God, I went to church. God, I got baptized. God, I tried to give when it was time to give. God, I tried. God, I tried, and yet here I am. I believed in you. I had dreams of something better. I went out full, and I came back empty. There's There's two big ideas that I want to highlight from within this story for you today. As we look at Naomi and what she went through, the very first thing that I see, very simply, is the wrong direction always leads to the wrong destination. How's that for brilliant? It's simple, right? It's so simple, it's forgettable. Anytime you're going in the wrong direction, you'll never get to your desired destination. You will never walk to your desired destination if you're always going in the wrong direction. The problem for some of you is you're wondering, God, why are you not coming through for me? Why do I feel so empty? Why am I not being fulfilled? Why is my life not going the way that I know it should? God, why can't I feel your presence? Why don't I know what to do, much less where you are? The reason may simply be your back is turned. Your back is turned. You think you've found a better way, a better option, a better path, a better choice. It's the same exact thing all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It's not that sin is out there and sin is keeping us from heaven, and yet what it is, it's more just our choice to choose what we think is better. And so very simply, maybe if you today find yourself wondering, God, I don't see you in this situation, is it possible that somewhere along the way you shifted your focus, turned your eyes? It's exactly what Naomi did when she didn't like how things looked where she was. And again, I don't know the situation. Her and her family, Naomi and her husband, they got together. They obviously talked about it. And in whatever it was, the situation in their mind was so that they needed to leave. But in that, when they didn't like how things looked where they were, Because the enemy always wants you to view the wrong direction as what's better for you, she left for enemy territory. Let me ask you this today. Is your life pointed towards the things of God or to what looks better? Think about it. What direction is your life currently headed? Is it towards the things of God, or is it more towards the things of this world? My guess is there's a few who across this room, even today, that could say, Corey, look, at one time I remember the moment when I used to wake up and God was on my mind. I do. Corey, I remember when the first thing out of my mouth was, God, let this day be yours. God, I remember when I used to give him my day. I remember when I used to consistently be in church. I remember when I used to serve. I remember when God was there. I remember. But then somewhere along the way, something happened, and your eyes just simply shifted focus. And now you find yourself wondering, looking, saying, I remember when, but what happened now? Ask yourself, where along that way did your eyes simply shift? Because he's always just as close as simply turning around. Somewhere along the way, you shifted focus. I tell you what, look, I hate to even bring up the word, but COVID threw a lot of people's rhythms off. There's a lot of people who, even though we know we're done with COVID, there's a lot of people whose rhythms are still off from it. But it doesn't take a dire catastrophe to shift our focus. It could simply be the new job you didn't get. It could be a relationship that causes you to simply shift focus. Maybe you had intimacy with God one point in time, but your rhythms got messed up. And somewhere along the way, you found yourself feeling let down by God. You thought he was going to do something, but when he didn't, instead of leaning in, you got a few degrees off. And without even realizing it, without even knowing it, what happens is we wake up one day and we realize I've drifted from a few degrees to a long way off. Is your life moving in the direction of God? Because again, the wrong direction always leads to the wrong destination. The second thing that I want to show you from this story is very simply, look, a distorted view of who God is always leads to a distorted view of what life is. If you can't see who God is, you're always going to view your situation outside of the scope of God. Anytime we don't see God as who he is, we start to wrongly interpret what we see going on around us. Ooh, this is what happens to Naomi. Look, she's blaming God when she had stayed away for over a decade. Think about it. She's been away from her home. She's been away from her calling. Out of God's will for close to right about 10 years. And because she was away from the things of God, it distorted how she saw God. And because her distortion of who God was had occurred, she now saw life through a distorted view. And this view brought her to the conclusion God made my life bitter. Her conclusion, after having removed herself from the presence of God, was that it was God's fault. God made my life bitter. God let me down. God didn't do what he should have done. Look, and honestly, be real. That's where a lot of people find themselves. Without even knowing it, you've stepped a few degrees off the right path. And you're heading in the wrong direction, and you've got this distorted view of God. You're wondering where he is and why he let you down. God, I don't know why you didn't. God, I know you could have. God, I know you should have, but why didn't you? And without realizing it, you can wake up and recognize you're bitter toward God. And look, if you feel like that, I get it. I get it. I've done it more times than I care to admit. It's easy to shift your focus from what is good to what the enemy wants you to believe is good. It's easy. And all of a sudden, you find yourself looking at a distorted view of God. God, you promised me. God, you were supposed to be here. God, you said. And all the while, God's like, hey, turn around. Up here. Look up here. Can't nobody from the 80s, really? Man. Thank you. Thank you. One person. I bless you. Look, what's interesting about all of this, Naomi did make two big mistakes. She left the blessings of God going into enemy territory and then blamed God. God, this is your fault, even though she stayed away for over a decade. But I want to highlight one thing Naomi got seriously right. She called God by a very specific name. In the middle of this hurt, in the middle of this pain, she calls God by a very specific name. And what she does is she reveals a little bit of faith even in the middle of her emptiness. She says this, "Call me Mara, call me bitter, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter." The Hebrew name for God that's translated, that she uses there is Almighty. It's this word, it's El Shaddai. And this word means God is enough. God is always enough. No matter what I'm going through, God's presence is always enough. God is enough. No matter the situation, God is enough. No matter when I go through the situation, God is enough. El Shaddai. God is enough. A very literal translation is God is exactly what you need when you need him. He's El Shaddai. Watch as this unfolds. Naomi's broken. She's empty, hurting, confused, doesn't know where God is, but still deep down she knows that he's what she needs. So she tells her daughter-in-laws, go back home. Ruth says, no, I'm staying with you. And look, I'm breezing through it. But I can't encourage you enough to go back and read this powerful story. This powerful story of redemption. Ruth waits patiently for God. Again, she's now a foreigner in a new land, having said, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. And she waits patiently for God to bring her the right man. And God ends up bringing her Boaz, who was handsome, rich, and godly. Look, I'm just saying, it goes to show what happens if you wait on God. Melissa waited. Look what she got. Okay, look, joking aside, I gotta say, guys, this woman right here is amazing. We were talking this week, and I've known it. I've always known it, but I've never just stopped and thought about it. Every bit of what I do, there's pastors across this country who are phenomenal and do great. Every bit of what I do, I couldn't be here today if it wasn't for her with me. Look, even this morning, after having designed and made all of the mom pictures, so we're like, hey, we want to take pictures with our moms. Mom, why don't you go make that? We did that, and then we made her get up early this morning to lead worship and get up here to get everything ready. But then as well, I thought, hey, I've got to study for my message, so why don't you get the kids ready too and get them up here early? I don't think anybody realizes how much effort and work she constantly, consistently, daily puts in, and I wouldn't be able to pastor without having this woman by my side. So just thank you. I love you. Coming back to Ruth 4, I want to jump ahead from Ruth 1 to Ruth 4. We see that even through Naomi's brokenness, even through her complete emptiness, that God blesses this very special relationship. And through this emptiness, through this hurt, God brings about a redeemer for Naomi. But not just a redeemer for her bitterness, also a redeemer for you and I.
Picking up in chapter 4, verse 13, it says this: "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, 'Praise be to the Lord who has this day not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better than seven sons, has given birth to him.'" And then look at this: "Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him." You know what you can't do when you're empty? You can't care. The women living there said this: Naomi has a son. Naomi, not Mara, not bitter, not any longer, but by grace, redeemed, she is now sweet and pleasant. And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. They named him Obed. Obed means servant of God. There was a renewed faith. There was a simple turning back to the Almighty, to El Shaddai. Naomi was no longer empty. God had redeemed her story. But look again. Obed was the father of Jesse and the father of David. Through time, what you see, generation, this lineage, from out of this lineage of emptiness, from this lineage of brokenness, from generation through to generation through to generation, Obed, the father of Jesse, Jesse, the father of King David, David, the father of Solomon, from generation to generation to generation, from this lineage, out of Naomi's empty brokenness, God brought about the wholeness and healing for you and I in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. Our Redeemer. Look, God loves you so much that he even uses your wrong directions. Even though you may have veered outside of his will, he takes our mistakes and still brings about his purpose and redemption. Guys, it was out of the pain. It was out of bitterness. It was out of brokenness, even from having chosen the wrong path, even from having stepped out of God's will. Through all of that came the goodness and faithfulness of the God who is exactly what you need when you need it. He's El Shaddai. Through the bitterness, God brought healing. Through the emptiness, God brought a Savior into our world. Even when I'm empty, he is still El Shaddai. He is always enough. And in the same way, God wants to do this for each and every one of us. Right now, even in your pain, your brokenness, maybe your bitterness, your emptiness, God wants to be for you exactly what you need right when you need it. You see, that's God's love for you. That's his power, his presence, his spirit inside of you. It's his goodness that gives hope even in the middle of your pain. God took the brokenness, brought about redemption so that you could stand equipped. Someone here today went out full, and you now find yourself coming back empty. Someone here today probably holding bitterness toward God, wondering where he is, why he didn't, why he hasn't.
there's probably somebody here today who feels empty because you didn't get that job, you didn't get that promotion you were supposed to by now. For others, you feel empty because you're still not married and you're wondering, God, when are you going to bring the right one? For others, you feel empty because your marriage seems broken. And you cry out to God, 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 where are you? And then on a day like today, there's somebody here who feels empty. Because on a day where we rejoice and we celebrate moms, you can't conceive. And it feels empty inside. It feels hurt, broken. Someone here confused. Someone here battling an addiction. Someone here fighting depression. Someone else wrestling with their own thoughts. All the while, we feel empty. And in these moments, you don't know where God is, and you end up, you can hold a grudge, a distorted view of who he is. Remember, guys, you never get to the right place when you're walking in the wrong direction. I encourage you very simply, if you're walking away from God today, I want to encourage you to turn your back to El Shaddai. Turn back toward him. Turn back to. It's easy to get our backs turned away from, but then if it is that easy, then we got to acknowledge, we got to recognize it is just as easy to say, I'm turning my back to. I'm coming back to. If you're walking away from God, turn back to him. Cry out to him. Throw the weight of all of your hurts on him. Trust him again. Get to know him intimately. Get to know him as El Shaddai. Not just a half-hearted, God, I'm in trouble and I need help. But a turning back to a God, I can't. If you find yourself hurting, broken, confused, feeling betrayed, if you're heading in the wrong direction today, I encourage you to turn back to God. Let him redeem your loss. I'm going to invite the band to come up as I close this morning. And I do. I want you to allow God today to redeem your hurt. To let him be everything you need when you need him. Let him take whatever it is that's testing you. Let him take whatever it is, the trouble, the hurt, the pain that you're in, and let him redeem it. He's exactly what you need when you need him. He is exactly what you need when you need him. If you're in pain, he's your comforter. If you feel weak, he's your strength. If you're sick, if you're broken, he's your healer. He's joy in the middle of sorrow. He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. He's El Shaddai. He's exactly what you need when you need him. Can I have y'all play on song 2, that bridge? Where she was singing. That's my daughter. Look, if you're here today and you started out full. Today you may find yourself empty. I would encourage you to look at what direction it is that you're facing. Because God may want to bless you and you just simply need to turn around. Turn back to him. A heart that seeks him, that seeks his truth in everything that you do. And one day, I can promise you, you'll wake up. One day you'll wake up, and even in the middle of an unanswered prayer, even in the middle of brokenness, even in the middle of hurt and pain, even when God is all you have,
Even in those moments, you'll recognize that as God is all you have, now you're starting to live like the gospel changes everything. And all of a sudden, you recognize with God as all I have, God is all I need. God's not just all I have. God is all that I need. The gospel changes everything. He's enough. He's El Shaddai even when I'm empty. He's El Shaddai. I tell you what, y'all stand with me as I close in prayer. Yes, Father God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for who you are, for your word, for your truth. God, I pray even now that by the power of your love that you would bring about redemption in our lives. Where there's brokenness, Lord God, that you would bring about healing. Lord, that you would bring about your touch. God, I thank you for the power of the cross, for the power of the empty tomb. And today, Lord God, I do pray that we would just simply receive that power. Across this room, I want to do something real quick, guys. There's people here who I think this a message like this, it resonates. It resonates differently than another message necessarily would. When you talk about being empty, it hits sometimes. When you talk about being broken, it resonates sometimes. And so this morning, I simply want to ask you, who might need El Shaddai? You need God's redemption. You need his healing. You need his holiness. You just need him. If you're here this morning and for whatever reason, whatever it is you're going through, right now you know, God, I just need you. If you just real quickly lift your hand, I want to pray for you wherever you are. Where you're standing across the room, hands raised. Those recognizing, God, in this situation, I can't any longer. God, just like Naomi, with those hands raised, Father, along with so many others, Lord, we sometimes all we see is the pain that's right in front of us. God, right now, in the middle of pain, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to see you as El Shaddai, the God who is still with us, the God who is exactly what we need. God, I thank you for your redemption, for what you're doing in lives even now, Father, bringing about your redemption, your plan, even from out of our unwillingness, even from out of our stubbornness. God, let you be redeemed. As I continue praying, I want to do this. Across the room, if you would, just extend a hand to a mom. I want to pray a special blessings on moms today. God, in this moment, I pray that you would help us to know you intimately, to trust you, God, to trust, Lord, that just as you redeemed Naomi's story of brokenness by sending the Messiah, by sending your son, Father, I pray that you would bring about redemption, Lord God, even through any mom who may feel broken today. God, I pray that they would be uplifted, that they would be encouraged, Lord God, that they would know that we stand here today by the God-given strength and power given to a mom. Father, we thank you for the strength that you are even now sustaining them with. I pray a blessing upon their lives, Lord God, that they would be encouraged, that they would recognize that they are equipped for this, Lord God. They are equipped for even this. God, bless their hands. Bless the things that they touch. Bless the prayers, Lord God, that they pray over the children that they minister to. God, let your word be revealed through their lives and let their children grow up, Lord, to acknowledge the strength and the character of who they had as a mom. God, we thank you today for mothers. We thank you today for mothers, Lord Jesus. And Father, across this room for all of us, I ask that whatever anyone is facing right now, that in this moment, by your power, that you would be our El Shaddai. Exactly what we need, God, exactly when we need you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word, for your truth. As I continue to pray, I want to do this. I want to close with one last prayer. I've learned that even in my life, sometimes God will allow. He will allow you to get to a place in life where you have nothing left but to turn to him. You have nothing left but to recognize, I can only look up. I've hit bottom. I think God allows that in our lives. He doesn't cause that in our lives, but because of our choices, I think God allows us just to follow our own path, all the while hoping, praying, desiring that we would come back. If you're here this morning, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how far you think you've walked off. I don't care how many times you think you've cursed God himself. I don't care how many times you think you did whatever it is that now makes it impossible for God to redeem you. You may wonder, how can I ever be good enough? And the truth is, I want to clarify, you can't. You aren't good enough. Neither am I. That's the beauty. That's the beauty of the gospel. You and I can never be good enough. That's why God sent Jesus. That's why he sent his son. Because he cared for you, Jesus was enough. Because God cared for you, Jesus was enough. So he became the perfect sacrifice. Lived the perfect life so that, because he consistently kept his eyes on Jesus, we now have a path back to God the Father. Because Jesus kept his eyes on the Father, we now have that path right back to the Father. God himself in the flesh showing us how to live, how to walk, if we had simply turned back. Right now across this room, if there's anybody who feels like you've wandered off a single step, or whether it's 20,000, whatever it is you feel, guys, listen, he's always just right there. He's always just simply a turn away. If you're here this morning and you want a relationship with Christ, not a denomination, not some sort of do's and don'ts, not some sort of religious garbage that you gotta wear, but a life that's changed, a heart that's changed, a life that says, God, I can't anymore. It's not me, I can't. It's a life that turns your eyes to him. If that's you this morning, man, I just wanna pray a simple prayer. Scripture tells, it's really just as simple as saying, God, I believe in what you did on the cross. It's that simple. God, I believe in you. And scripture says at that very moment, the weight of the world that you carry is wiped away. The weight of the sin, the weight of everything, the weight of the questions that you hold on to is washed away clean, clean, white as snow. But it's turning to him. If that's you here this morning and you don't have a personal relationship with him, or you know it needs to be closer, you veered off, I want to pray specifically for you. Again, with every head bowed, eyes closed, I'm not looking to try and draw attention or call somebody out. But look, guys, this is important. This is so important. This is your life. This is your strength. This is your power. This is the possibility to recognize you are equipped every day. And it really is just as simple as saying, God, I need you. If that's you here this morning, I want to pray for you. Please lift your hand up. Let me see where you're at. Awesome, 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 Lord. Come on. Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Across the room, Lord God, let your name be revealed in people's lives. God, across this room, may you be glorified. Hands raised, Father, believing that you are almighty. You are El Shaddai. Heavenly Father, we come before you as a people and we say thank you. We turn our eyes, we turn back to you, God. We turn to El Shaddai, who is everything we need. Everything that we need, God, today be our everything. We thank you for who you are, Lord God. I pray that our eyes wouldn't be diverted, that our eyes wouldn't shift, Lord, but that we would recognize the power of your Spirit now forever, Lord God, within our lives. Across this room, will you please repeat after me? Say, Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sin. I ask you to save me. Make me new. Fill me with your presence so I can know you and so I can show your love to those around me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for life in these people. Lord God, I thank you for your life in people's lives across this room today. Father, I thank you that hearts are changed, that burdens are lifted. Lord God, that glory is revealed when we turn our eyes upon our Redeemer. Father, we thank you so much for everything that you're doing right here in this place. And we thank you for souls, Lord God, that are a part of the family today. A part of life, Lord God. No longer empty. No longer broken, Lord God, but healed by the power of El Shaddai. He is always enough. Father, it's in the name of your Son we pray this morning. Amen, 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 amen. Guys, y'all give the Lord a clap. Come on. Hallelujah. Listen, if you raised your hand, if you lifted your hand earlier about wanting a new life in Christ, don't walk out of here without talking to somebody, getting encouragement about what that means in the next step from here. One of our pastors is going to be up here along the front. We'd love to meet with you, love to shake your hand, love to say God bless you. Guys, y'all have a wonderful week. Congratulate a mother around you. Congratulate somebody who just gave their life to the Lord. Be blessed in His name. Come on.